Here's Pastor Brian as he continues his study on spiritual warfare.
Welcome to the program once again today, and all this week we are looking at the subject of spiritual warfare. And this topic probably does generate a lot of controversy and a lot of different opinions on the subject, and once again we must take our authority from the Word of God. And we'll come back to Matthew chapter 16, where we started yesterday, looking at that phrase, especially in verse 18, where Jesus said, "And I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." In our program yesterday, I looked at the fact that the phrase, "the gates of Hades," is actually based in the Old Testament out of Job chapter 17, verse 16, and Isaiah 10, and is a reference of going to the place of death. And Job 17, verse 16 says this, "Will they go down to the gates of Sheol? Shall we have rest together in the dust?" And so the gates of Sheol is the Old Testament term for the place of the grave, or the place where people went and their departed spirits went to. And so the New Testament is written in Greek, and the term is Hades. It's describing the same place. Also, Hezekiah, when he was about to die, in Isaiah 38:10 said, "I said, in the prime of my life, I shall go to the gates of Sheol. I am deprived of the remainder of my years." And so the gates of Hades is actually rooted in the Old Testament and is not a reference to Satan's kingdom, but a reference to death. And the meaning in the context here is, even if the world comes against the church and brings death to them, that it will not stop the church. The church will prevail, because we will go right into the presence of the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So nothing is going to be able to stop the church, whether human or demonic. Because when we die, we go right into the presence of the Lord. We continue to live with Him forever. And a passage that we didn't get to look at yesterday needs to be understood in light of what we're saying is Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18. It says, "I am He who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death." So the Lord is the one that has the authority over death and Hades. And so when His saints die, whether through persecution or just growing older or sickness and disease, they go right into the presence of the Lord, because He's the one controlling that. Satan is not the one controlling death and Hades. That has been stripped of him. The power that Satan once exercised over death, that power and authority was stripped away from him through the ministry of Jesus Christ, as Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15 reads, "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, He Himself likewise shared in the same, that through death He might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." So Satan does not control death. Jesus Christ does. And when a believer dies, they go directly into God's presence and will be there eternally. So no matter what happens that comes against the church, it'll not prevail against the church, even death itself. And then the binding and loosing in verse 19 of Matthew 16, also we looked at, in looking at the fact that relates to forgiveness of sins, either to bind sins upon a person or to loose them in the sense that they are forgiven. And we saw in Matthew 18, verse 18, that after the process of church discipline takes place, we've been given that same authority, as it says, "Assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." So that's a reference to either receiving or rejecting someone, depending on their response to the Word of God and the discipline of the church. So it relates to forgiveness or unforgiveness. So when we preach to the unbeliever and they reject, we could say your sins remain upon you, or they're bound upon you, and God agrees with that in heaven. Or if they respond and receive the gospel, we have the authority to say you are forgiven by God, and God agrees with that in heaven as well. And that's what we looked at in John 20 as well, where Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And He said, "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." And that's John 20, verse 23. So again, that authority to forgive or to say your sins remain upon you. Now, when people first hear this, they say, then what authority do we have against the devil? How are we to respond to the spiritual attacks? You seem to have stripped me with something that I've always counted on, that I could bind the devil or to loose the power of God within my life. Well, there's two passages in the scripture that we could turn to for today. The first one is found in the book of James, and in your own mind, fill in the blank. Resist the devil and he will, and the probably what hopefully came to your mind, the scripture says, flee from you. And so here it says to resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's our defense. But the problem is, I only read part of the verse. the first part of the verse in James chapter 4, verse 7 says, therefore, submit to God. That's our first priority. That's our first line of defense, not me binding or loosing, but submitting myself to God, to his authority, to his power, to his will, to all the resources that he's given to me. Because in James 4, verse 6, the verse right before that, he says, but he gives more grace to the humble. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. So as we're being attacked by the enemy, our role is not to come out and to bind the devil, but it's to submit to God, who's in charge. And as you see throughout Scripture, that's the same thing that has taken place even in the life of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 4, the Spirit drove Jesus out into the wilderness. And what he did was he went through a series of temptations. He didn't just say, I bind you, get out of here. He resisted the devil through the word of God. He submitted to the Father's plan. The Spirit was bringing him there out into the wilderness to fast and to be tempted. And so he submitted to those plans that God had, and he resisted the lies of the devil, and he did eventually flee from him. That seems to be the pattern of Jesus, and it should be the pattern of our life as well. That when temptation comes along, we resist the devil, we first submit to God, we resist the devil, and he will flee. So we're not left defenseless just because the Bible doesn't give us the authority to bind and to loose things. There's another passage that relates to spiritual warfare, and that's in 1 Peter chapter 5. Another familiar passage reads this way, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him. The same thing James says, but now Peter's going to add something extremely important. Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the worlds. But may the God of all grace, who has called us to his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. And so here we are added the fact that now we resist the devil steadfast in the faith. Now, the phrase the faith doesn't mean your personal faith in God or some subjective experience, but it relates to the faith or the doctrine that's been given to us, the truth that's found within the Scripture. So when the enemy comes against us, we submit ourselves to God, and he may be allowing this sort of attack upon our life, the spiritual warfare that's going on. And so we submit to God's resources, God's plan. We have to go through these turmoils and trials and struggles, this opposition to the gospel, this opposition to the ministry that God's called me to. I'm going to submit to God first. That's what we're told in James. And interesting enough, a few verses before we read resisting the devil steadfast in the faith, which is found in verse 9, in 1 Peter 5, verse 6, that familiar phrase is, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And right before that, he quotes the same verse that James did, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So we see the same pattern of our role is to be submitted to God, be humble before him to receive his grace, the grace that's sufficient to help me get through anything in life, whether it's just bad circumstances or direct spiritual attack. And so I submit myself to God, I cast all my cares upon him, and then now I resist the devil steadfast in the faith, or maybe it's easier for you to understand it, with the faith or with the truth of the word of God. We see that same thing in Ephesians chapter 6 of putting on the belt of truth. This is now where the word of God comes into play. Not that we just speak the word, but we resist him with the truth. And that's what Jesus did in Matthew chapter 4. The devil told him to do something, he responded with the word of God and the proper interpretation of it and what that truth said. And so he followed what the word of God says. And that's how we're to be involved in spiritual warfare right now, not just bind the devil. You will not find that in the scripture. What you do is you resist him with the truth. And then part of the truth that Peter's going to bring out here specifically, he says, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. And that's one of the lies of the enemy, that you are the only one personally going through this particular trial. And then the enemy wants to bring up, well, hey, maybe God doesn't love you as much, or maybe you're really not a child of God, or maybe, you know, God doesn't have the power to help you, or is just not concerned about you. That's a lie. So you resist him with the truth, knowing that I'm a beloved child of God, that he loves, that nothing will separate me from the love of God. And then to realize that basically what I'm going through, other people in the world are going through as well. The church all over the world is going through persecution and trials and difficulties, and that's just part of this life. You're not the only one. But that's one of the lies that the enemy wants to bring in, saying you're the only one that's ever experienced this or to this degree or this way. And that's just a lie. And so we resist him with the truth, knowing that believers all over the world are suffering as well. Someone has stated misery loves company. And so when other people are going through trials and struggles, it somehow helps us realize I'm not that bad or I'm not different. The same thing is happening with other believers. I'm just part of that as well. Now look what verse 10 says. In light of this whole context, it says, but may the God of all grace, who has called us to his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, listen to this word, after you have suffered a while. So this suffering that we go through in relationship to spiritual warfare is part of the God of all grace's plan. Because after we suffered a while, what he's going to do is perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. So God says, humble yourself, even in the midst of spiritual warfare, because what God's going to do through these attacks, after we've went through that process, the result is going to be, we're going to be perfect, which is another term for mature, established, strengthened, and settled. A greater confidence in the things of God, a greater confidence in his power. So we're not worried or stressed out when we go through trials. Once again, we realize the God of all grace is going to be there. Although he's allowing my life to be attacked, my confidence is settled in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's going to get me through this thing. And I realize that other people are going through the same sort of difficulties and trials. And we serve an awesome and wise God. He could actually use the attacks of the devil upon our life to bring about a strengthening in our life. See, our problem is, what we want to say is, get out of here. Get this problem away from my life. I bind it. And God says, no, I want it to be upon your life to work a greater work of humility, to work a little more of the character and nature of my son in your life. And as you go through the suffering, whether it's just the circumstances of life or through demonic attack like Job went through, there's going to be an end result that God's going to bring maturity to our life. I pray that you're encouraged today on the subject of spiritual warfare.